Yeah, so we're still in Yud Beis and Aleph. So this Pikud HaRivah, this fourth mitzvah, was Leminda Dehavaya Hu Elokim. And according to the Pasuk, V'yadata Hayayim Hashem V'yisa Elovecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. Ki Havaya Elokim. So that's where he's jumping in over here. V'im Kol Da. Somebody else coming?
Yeah? I'm sure someone else will come.
V'im Kol Da Itzdrich Leminda Delokim Havaya Kulo Chad Beloi Piruda Havaya Hu Elokim. Without any period, kulochad, this is what we need to know. Kad yinta barnash de kulochad, when a person knows this, v'lo yeshi piruda, and it doesn't allow for any period, afilo ha'hi sitra achra yistalak me'alama, that even the sitra achra is removed from the world, v'lo is meshach lesata, and it can't be drawn down. V'hainu raza dechse v'hayu l'mayres. And when that happens, that's called v'hayu l'ma'ayres. Ha'klipa basa meicha salka. Meicha or. The klipa follows the mayach. Meicha is or. Sitra achra is mavis. Or bechibur da'asven mavis bipiruda. So or is bechibur. The asfun mavis bipiruda. So or is bechibur osios, but mavis is bipirud osios. You happen what's going on here?
Aleph and above.
No. He's highlighting the word lema'iris. Look at the word ma'iris carefully. In the inside of the word ma'iris is aleph avresh.
Right. And mavis is on the outside.
And what? And vav, yeah. And mavis is on the outside. Yeah, so that's what it is, yeah. So exactly. So he said, that's what it means. Or bechibur, or is one entity, but the asfen mavis is peruda, but the letters mavis are broken up. So or is able to shatter, breaks through the word mavis. That's why you need a zayar to teach us how to like learn Pshat and Pasuk. Like, how are you going to see this? Have to look it up, how to word like that entire. V'chad hai or is stalik mitaman, but when the or is nistalik, then mechaber asfen de peruda mavis, it brings mavis together. So or has the koyach to be mafrid mavis. And when that happens, so it shatters the inyan of mavis, and that's what the word ma'iris is about. Ah, oh, Suvia.
It's not easy to make it. I'm glad you're giving share, because it's not easy.
Suvia's nefesh, wow. So we don't know each other's mesiris nefesh when it comes to things, right? So we don't know. So we're talking about what we were discussing last time, which is Havaya Hu Elokim. Yeah? That one of the mitzvahs in Torah, is to know that Havaya and Elokim is really one. So the Zayin now is telling us that the Shnei Ma'iris HaGadolim, this is really what he's hinting to, which I don't remember if he said so before. We may have spoken it out, but the Shemesh and the Areach correspond to Havaya Elokim. And because the Or HaYareach is diminished, that means that the whole soyed of the Shem Elokim is on a weaker dargah, on a lesser dargah than the Shem Havaya. Havaya is the Shemesh. Shemesh wasn't impacted. Hashem wasn't memayat the Shemesh, but he was memayat the Yareach. So the Miyat Yareach is that the Shem Elokim is not on par with the Shem Havaya. Hence, Havaya is Rachamim, Elokim is Din. Laila is Din, Yoim is Rachamim. So the shlita of the Arech is at night because that's her gvul. The gvul of Elokim, of the Shem Elokim, which is Din, is in the nighttime, which is the Indian of Din. So Shnei HaMa'iris HaGadolim means a coming together, being Mala, the Arech, back to the Darg of the Shemesh. When that happens, we could say Havayahu Elokim. I don't see any difference between how Kadosh Baruch Hu is Megala Rachmanis through Havaya and blank by Elokim. So now, this is the question we could pose, we could put on the table. We said last week that that's the whole inyan of Aseres HaMetshuvah. Aseres HaMetshuvah was 355 days of the lunar year, the 365 days of the solar year. So the Gra said that the chibur of those two is during Aseres HaMetshuvah. But now, what do we know about Aseres HaMetshuvah? That these are days of tremendous rachamim. Now, of the two, right, Rosh Hashanah, of course, is connected to the Yareach, we said. Bakes al Yom Chagino, that's the day that the Torah highlights the matzav of the Yareach. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Din, that's called Elokim. Yom Kippur is a day of the Shemesh, That's Havaya. The Pasuk calls it Yom Havaya. That's the Shemesh, that's the rule of Rachamim. So Ne'ilu, we say at the culmination of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. Now, what's the Toitza of that? What does that mean about the Shem Elokim? That means that we're Ma'al of the Shem Elokim, we're Masakin the Shem Elokim. So if that's the case, now Elokim transforms, so what does Havaya Hu Elokim mean? So what would you say about the Shem Elokim at that point? So until now, because of the Pagam in the Areyach, so Elokim is a mit of din. And for some reason, that's not good. So now with the Tikkun, what would you say about the Shem Elokim now? So now that it's been Mesukun, so that's called the Shnei HaMa'iris, so then the Shemesh and the Areyach are the same. But now, if what is the mida that the Areyach is now being Megal? In its Tikkun form. How would you say Pshat now? Because now that we've said what happens, we have to explain what happens to the Shem Elokim. Like, what's the Toitza? So is it not Din anymore?
Can you say that it's Teferis, that it's the balance of both?
Hmm?
Can you say that it's Teferis, that has the balance of both?
You could say that. I mean, how Rachamim and Din, how Din and Rachamim work in tandem in order for the world to run the way that it's supposed to. There's a certain Toelis in that, meaning like this. If Elokim is going left and Havaya is going right, that can cause havoc because then you can't. It's like the Republicans and Democrats say there's nothing ever happens of it because Republicans are going right and the Democrats are going left. So, bazeh, and then it just uproots this one, this uproots this one, and nothing goes anywhere because they're always pulling two different directions, tug of war. So, if the midas of Hashem, of Havaya, which is Rachamim, and Din, which is Elokim, are incongruent, they're not working with each other, so nothing can happen. It creates a certain chaos. It's not. You wouldn't call that shlema shlemachas. Okay, so that would be one way to say it.
I was thinking maybe not, because that's really only by oddness, right? Oddness, you see teferis. You know, when you take a vaya and elokim, it's not necessarily that you, maybe it is.
So we find that the shlema elokim, oddness is called malchus, and elokim is also called malchus. So although we do see that gevura, the seer of gevura is the shame for gevura is elokim, we do find many times that Elokim, Malchus is also called Elokim. So I would say like this. What Avi's suggesting is considered to be probably the most basic tikkun, most basic form of tikkun. And that's really, you could say, is what the Simcha of Sukkot is, right? Because Sukkot is called Sukkah Shalom. Now what's the Shalom of the Sukkah? The Shalom of the Sukkah comes from the Shalom, this harmony which takes place between the Shemesh and the Areich. That's the harmony. How? Because Sukkah, we know, is a gematria Havaya Adnas. Right? It's like you just said. Havaya is the Shemesh. The Adnas in Elokim, they're replaceable. So we would say, call that the Yareach. So since Sukkah is gematria Havaya Adnas, like the Ari explains, like the Zohar says, so you could say that the Simcha of the Sukkah is this Shlemus which takes place between the Shemesh and Yareach and Yom Kippur. Hence, the Simcha of Zman Sebrasin of Sukkah comes out of Yom HaKippurim, the Hainu, this Yichud of the Ma'aris. That's why Sukkah is called Sukkah Shalom. It's Sukkah Shalom because it's the Shalom between these two midas. That's why we sit in the Sukkah in the nighttime and also in the daytime. Right? The Sukkah is one of those mitzvahs which, although most mitzvahs, the Mishnah Megillah says, are done by Yom, because that's the Gvul of the Kedusha is by Yom and the Gvul of the Sitra Achra is by night. So most mitzvahs are done by day. They're not done by night. Right? Shofar has to be by day. You know, and Halal has to be by day. And the Mishnah has a whole list of mitzvahs should be done by day. And Beis Din can only be by day, right? Because you don't want to have Din in the night. Din is something which should be in the Gvul of the day. Right? However, Sukkot is not a mitzvah which is mukbal by day or by night. You mekayim the mitzvah by yoyim, just like you mekayim it by night. Anytime you sit in the Sukkah, it's an equal mitzvah. Adarabba, like the ikar chiyuv to eat is in the Sukkah, is in the night. It's talk in the night. And it's interesting is that the whole Indian of the Sukkah, the Shir Schach.
Right, it's measured by both.
Yeah, it's measured by both, yeah.
Measured by both what?
The Hainu, that the
Kochavim Nirin, that's the Luchar Chila, you should be able to see the stars, but also it's Ma'akeh that the sun has to, you measure the Kashas of the Schach by the sun.
Right, yeah. We see in the Gvul of the how much in the Schach, which Shem Shemayim Schach on the Sukkah, so it's measured by that. Schach is the end of the Sukkah.
I love it.
They said sukkah and he was turned right on.
But so, also sukkah is the time of year. It's the equinox also.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shalom in that in right. This tzedadim. Yeah, it's a shalom and tzedadim of the year. Smack in the middle. That's the fall. That's the maybe the gvul between the summer and the winter.
It's nice season.
Yeah, yeah. What we're going through now is not crazy. So that's the sukkah. That's one way to say it. That there's a shalom which is taking place between. I mean the siman is a rachamim, because and they should be piled together, a shutfin, right? Higher way to say it is like this. That really midas adin isn't midas adin at all. Only appears to us to be midas adin. But if you were to be ma'amik within midas adin, you would drill into it, if you would reveal or take off the face, the cover, the mask of the midas adin, you would see that there's a gevaldik rachamim there. Right, the Sfarim says it, an even bigger rachamim is within the din than there is in the stam midas rachamim. So, whatever rachamim that we consider to be that Hashem has rachmanas on me in my life, we say, oh, this is a rachmanas on me. Hashem will be megal l'salava, one of the big tzchiks l'salava is going to be, azim malik tzchik pinu, is that we'll see that the midas din that Hashem administered on us was a greater revelation of rachmanas than was the racham which we think we have in our lives. There's a very partial way to explain that. Simply put, it's a chok. You could just call it a chok because we don't know the nature of the rachmanis that Hashem is going to give to us. So how are we supposed to understand like what that is? But you could explain it very well. Very partial, you can explain it. I think that in my life, that when a business deal goes through, or like a celebrated family simcha, that's rachmanis on me, right? But if Loyalina, if I got sick or somebody passes away, so that was a big tragedy. That's dinish cry about that. That's minis of din. But we know that the reason why tzaddikim suffer in this world and Rishayim, they flourish in this world is because they have a Gehenna. We don't have a Gehenna. We have Amal and Mabba. So all the din that's supposed to be in our lives, it's Neskayim in this world so that we can have a clean slate in the next world. So if that's the case, then everything which befalls me in this world, which is a fleeting world, it's a temporary world, so that's a much greater display of Hashem's Rachmanas Amir. Because for a Rasha that he has many moments of what he calls Rachmanas, so he doesn't know what's coming in the next world. Have a nitzchias of that, then would want that. Right? But because I'm very limited in what I know and what I understand, so I'm living in this world as a guf, so I see the rachmanis as being, but really, when I have bird's eye view, so I could see that klapishmaya, the midas adin is a much bigger rachmanis, because Hashem is cheshbening my lasalava, not just my olamaza. That's a very simple way to put it, where you can understand why. If you would get into the kishkas of the midas adin, you would see that there's a much greater hiskalas of rachman. So, that's base. That's shlav base. There's a shlav gimel that was to say as follows. What comes out is like this. If Havaya, which is a shemesh, reveals a certain R, which is rachmim, and or ma'ala, the midas hadin, to its place, what you would probably say at this point is that what we've been working until now is that there's really only one midah that's called midas rachmim. And we want to express Hashem's love and his concern and the midah of goodness of Torah that Hashem has in this world, we'll say that's called the midah of rachamim, right? What we've done until now is said as follows. Really, there's a midah of rachamim and there's a midah of din. An avis shlav aleph, so we said that really the midah havaya is the midah of rachamim. Midah sedin is midah sedin. It's just that if you can get the midah sedin to be machni itself, so the midah of rachamim, so then you could be poil very good rachmanis because the din is willing to go along. But racham is racham, din is din. Now, according to the second pshat, even we said as follows: that if you could be so deep to know that really within the midas din is even greater hiskalas of rachamim, right? So there's really only one rachamim. There's really one rachamim. Adrabah, the Sfarim say that la'asalava. When that happens, we will see the midas harachamim. We thought midas harachamim is really being midas din. That's true, because it's going to be a big chiluf that's going to take place. But when we see that din is really the real midas of rachmanis, that will mean that what we thought was racham tanam is really din klapi that. So really, we're still measuring what's the real racham. And it will come out when we have that penious way of looking at it, that the midas of din is really the bigger rachmanis. Now, the shlav gimel is as follows. Until now, really, we're looking just to see who is shining the greater Rachmanis, but there's really one or, and that's Rachman. But it could be that mitzad a higher darga that's called La'ila La'ila, there's really two makaris of rachamim. The height that the shemesh shines its own light, and the yireach shines a totally different light. This is what we're getting at. Let me ask you the following question. Until now, we know, we live in a world where the yireach doesn't have a light of its own. The only thing that the yireach has is that it's a reflection of the light of the shemesh. That means to say that really the yireach doesn't have a light of her own. Right? And it could be that the asal level, what will happen is that the yireach, she'll have her own light, that's for sure. She won't have to reflect any or anymore. But she'll have her own light, but it'll come from the shemesh. The shemesh will say, here, I've been giving you light all this time, and until now you've been reflecting it. So what's going to happen probably is that all the light that the shemesh gave to the yireach over all these years that the yireach was reflecting, she was really absorbing too. And so all that or that the shemesh gave to the yireach, that will be the yireach's light. So really the yireach will have her own light, but of course it comes from the shemesh. But it'll really be just one or because the yireach has her own or, but it's one makor, it came from the shemesh. So there's not two makaris. There are two makaris because she has her own light, but it's really the light of the shemesh. Now the yireach is his own or, and then the light of the yireach is also the or of the shemesh, but it just now belongs to her, and he has what belongs to her. But you wouldn't say about that that's really a tikkun of the yireach. Because Kol Zman, that she's only giving over a light, which really came from the shemesh, so then you wouldn't say that she has a nechama in that. She can't shine her own light, which is a different form of light, which is a light which is different than the shemesh. You can't say that the yireach is on the same level of the shemesh. Because if the yireach only is giving over a light which really came from the shemesh, you wouldn't say about that, that shnei hama'ayres ha'gedoylem. So we'll probably, on the highest level of the tikkun and the yireach, we'll say that the yireach will give over a light which was never seen before, which is a different type of a light than the light of the shemesh. Like mashalamad avadayme, like, you know, if you put a light through a prism, so there's all different types of colors of light, right? There could be a blue light, it could be a green light, there could be all different types of light, right? So what will happen is that we only know like this yellow light, which is the light of the shemesh. But it could be less a level, there'll be a different type of a light. And the Zohar alludes to this. The Zohar says, calls what's called the Beitzina de Kardinin, so we spoke about that, the Ner HaChashach. It means that like, even Choshech can be Meir. Mm-hmm. Such a thing that Choshech can be Meir. That's really what the side of the Tcheles is. Because the Zohar says that although we see Tcheles as being like a dark blue or a purple, the Zohar says, and this is what the Rambam says, the Rambam calls it a Shachar. It's black. Tcheles is black. The whole Indian of black is that we see black as being Choshech and that diminishes the Indian of Or. But imagine if there could be a chashach, if there could be a chashach which could be meir, if there's a shachar which could be meir. So that's like the secret of the asalavo, that there's going to be a new type of a light that'll be nisgala, which was a secret to us. Like an or chashach. That's the secret of the tcheles. That's why on the Beged of Tzitzis there's two. There's lavan and there's tcheles. Lavan is considered to be the or hashemesh, and then the yireach is considered to be the Indian of the Tcheles. The Yireach is the Indian of the Tcheles. It's very interesting because the Ari explains the following, that in his Drush on Tzitzis, he says that he doesn't speak out exactly what I'm about to share with you, but this is kind of how it goes. There's a whole din, let's say today, should you wear Tcheles, should you not put on Tcheles in your Tzitzis, right? So according to the Ari explains that, and he explains the Mishnah in Menachos, that there's two bechinas in tzitzis. What he calls it, tzitzis b'mashav yitzmiz mishkayim, and tzitzis b'zman ha-golos. Tzitzis b'zman ha-golos l'chatchil is only lavan. But tzitzis b'zman b'sam mikdash was lavan and tchilas. That's what he says. And he has kavanas where he says that the tzitzis b'mashav yitzmiz mishkayim, that's what he calls chachma d'bina. Or what he calls chachma d'ima. But the tzitzis b'zman ha-golos is what's called bina d'ima. Bina d'ima is only lavan. And in Golas, we only have Bina De'ima. But when the Beis HaMikdash is Kayim, we have this Gilu, which is called Chachma De'Bina, and Chachma De'Bina also has Tcheles. So you see, Bizman Shabbat HaMikdash Kayim is a different Gilu. And it goes very good, because we know that the Beis HaMikdash is called Sihar Bishlimusa. It's called the Tikkun of the Levana is what the Beis HaMikdash is about. The Beis HaMikdash is feminine, right? It's considered the Malchus, the Shem Anas. So the Tikkun of the Beis HaMikdash is like a Tikkun of the Levana. That's what it's called. So the Tikkun of Levana means that there's a Gilu of Tcheles. Goes hand in hand. When is the Beit HaMikdash? There could be Chilas, but there's no Beit HaMikdash, there can't be Chilas. Actually, it goes very nicely into Purim. Because the whole Indian of Purim, the whole Simcha of Purim, is Biroisim Yachat Chilas Mordechai. there was a bi'ois machlokes. It's very interesting, Tchelis Mordechai. Meaning, if he lives in the time of Chorban Beis Hamikdash, so why was he wearing Tchelis? Why is he wearing Tchelis? Belamai, the whole inyan of Tchelis Mordechai is as follows. Mordechai was never Messiah on the Beis Hamikdash. That's the chiddush of Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan. Asher Haglam Yerushalayim. Why is that the description of Mordechai? Right? The great shvach of Mordechai is that he was a person, he was a Yid, he was living in Shushan, but he was always Asher Haglam Yerushalayim. He never gave up on the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and it was through his efforts that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. Through Mordechai, through Esther. So he revived the Nebina Beis HaMikdash. So it could be that even in Galus, I'm not sure if he wore Tchilis in his tzitzis throughout the entire Galus, but at least when it came carved to the Kates, so he wore Tchilis on his tzitzis. Of course, that's not the Pashup Shad and Shoshana Siyak, but Pashup Shad is that he wore the clothes, and the clothes is that Teres Boots and Tchilis, I mean, he wore Tchilis, the word Tchilis of the Melech. But in Pimis, the Svarim typed it on tzitzis. And so the Tchilis of Mordechai means, that's why it's called Bir Oisim Yachat Tchilis Mordechai. If it was just that he wore the big day on Melech, why does it highlight Tchilis? He wore many types of there were many types of beautiful, ornate clothes which he wore. It wasn't just the Tchilis. And where, since when is there an inyan to see Tchilis on the big day? Why was that such a simcha? But we see that by Tzitzis, it says Uri Isa Maisai, and that's going on the Tchilis. It's a mitzvah to see the Tchilis, because Tchilis takes you back to the Kisei Kavod. So that's why Bir Oisim Yachan, if you're going to be talking about Bir Oisim, the inyan of Uri Isim, so then Tchilis Mornachai is on the Tchilis. But al P.R.E., there's no Tchilis B'Shaban HaGolus. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Why is he wearing Tchilis? But the pshat is that the whole inyan of what Esther represents, which is the Sihara also, which is the moon, the Gemara Megillah says, and the whole the efforts to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is what's called Tchilis Mordechai. Did we have to have mincha, by the way? What time is mincha?
5:10.
5 minutes.
Only 5, okay. It's called the Binyan Beis HaMikdash associated with the Inyan of Tchilis. And it has its own aura. Even today when we wear, let's say, Tchilis, those who wear Tchilis, the Api Halacha, Api Niglas HaTorah, you may find the reason to wear Tchilis. But Api Pnimius HaTorah, there's no... That's why the Chassidim don't wear Tchilis, and the Beis HaLevi has a tshuva about it, and Rabbi Yoshev also talked about it, but he was also coming up. On Niglas HaTorah, you could clear whether to or whether not to. But Pnimius HaTorah, Dari says that there's Tchilis, there's Bezman Shel Beis HaMikdash. And he says that when the Beis HaMikdash comes, then we'll have Mashiach, and then we'll have Tchilis again. Doesn't seem that drush, but he says it elsewhere. So Mamila, if that's the case, that there's an or of the Shamash which belongs to the Shamash, and there's an or of the Yareach which belongs to the Yareach. There's the or ha'or, and there's or ha'chashach. And these are two different makaris of rachamim. What you see from here is that if you want to touch up what Havai Hulakim does, which is what we're talking about, it comes to show that really you can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesiaches with us with midas rachamim. Because you can't call this rachamim more than that, because this is its own type of rachamim, and this is its own type of rachamim too. So that must mean that if there's two forms of rachamim, two different forms of rachamim, that means that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the makor of from where this mida comes from, is something which is even higher than rachamim.
The rachamim of the Levana. The rachamim.
Well, once the Levana has her own makor rachamim, right, which is like different than the makor rachamim from the Shemesh, you can't say that this is rachamim, you can't say that this is rachamim.
Right.
I mean, there can only be one thing, right? Once it becomes two, there has to be a cause of ashrishim achuya. That means that there's a tzara shava,
mm-hmm,
right? You can't say that this is rachamim, because this is also rachamim. But it's a totally different makor rachamim. So Kolzman, that there was, like in Shlav Aleph, that there was rachamim din, you could say this is rachamim, this is din. And now that you go to Shlav 2, that there's a hiskalus of a deeper, higher form of rachamim, so then that becomes rachamim, and what we thought was rachamim really becomes din. So until now, there was only one makor of rachamim. But now that you're going to say that they both have their own separate makoris, and they're both rachamim, because you can't say that this is din, and this is din, because they're both shining auras of rachamim. So then, what is it? It must be that there's a midah that is mesiachis to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is like atzmuso, so to speak, of yachal, which is even higher than rachamim. So, as follows. Although we would say that the midah which most exemplifies the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hisyachsus with us is the midah of rachamim, like we say, in the Gemara Midas HaRachamim, which is a description of Hashem's rachman of Hanhaga, it says Hashem, Hashem, kel racham achanan, mahu racham afat racham. Like, the way that we know how to be is because we're following in His ways, which are ways of rachmanis. Agaburcha, that's why it says Havaya, Havaya. Why two times Havaya? Because really, Lasid Lava Lil Bin is Gala Tumakar as a Rachamim. But you can't say in this conclusion, according to this way of looking at things, that the Mid of Rachamim is how you touch the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that makes a lot of sense, because we know Kodesh Baruch Hu is nothing can describe him, he's above everything, less machshava tfisa beklal. So even Rachmanis is just a way for us to, at our best, to be able to explain how Kodesh Baruch Hu's Messiah is with the Bia. But even that word doesn't do justice. You understand? So that's why when it comes to the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein, the Mishnah Brachas tells us that anybody who says, Masa Yagi Rachamech HaKan Sipur, when will your Rachmanis reach finally the Kan Sipur? So we say, Mishasik Asai. You have to silence him. And the Gemara says, because the Midas of a Kodesh Baruch are not Rachamim, they're Gzeiros. They're not. So the Pashup Shana that Gemara would seem to imply that don't say that Hashem has Rachmanis. When will you have Rachmanis at the Kan Sipur? Who needs Hashem's Rachmanis? Hashem can do whatever he wants. It's not a Rachmanis, it's a Gzeira. It's a Gzeira. Shiloh HaKein is a Gzeira. It doesn't have to always be so nice. So don't ask, when will your Rachmanis reach the Kan Sipur, that you shouldn't be so mean to the mother bird. No, accept it the way it is. It's a Gzeira. Don't tell Hashem what to do. But in Pnimis, it means like this. You don't say, Masegi Rachmanis the Kan Sipur. Because when the Gemara says that really Hashem's Hanhaga is not Rachmanis, it's Gzeiris, it means to say that even Rachmanis is not the proper taich on what is it? I don't know. It's called Hashem makes Gzeiris. But when Hashem makes Gzeiris, it doesn't mean that he's Messiah, it's a need of din. It's not a din on the cane. Like we said before, even in Shlav 2, it's not din. Because even that's a Rachmanis on the mother that we have to send her away for the... We know that the Zohar says, Shiloh HaKein is the biggest Rachmanis. When we send away the mother bird, it reminds Kodesh Baruch Hu of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And just like these little birdies are now in without their mother, it reminds Hashem that his children are without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's Ma'ir Rachmanis on the Mashiach. That's Shiloh HaKein. I was talking to Shiloh HaKein. This is the Makor Shiloh HaKein in Woodbury. Right? So it's a gewaldic thing. So it looks like it's a very lowly mitzvah, but it's a Laman Yarichun Lamecha. It comes from a place called Arech, which is a very big sphere. Laman Yarichun Yamecha. Very big things come from Shiloh HaKein. From the scale of Shiloh HaKein, meaning in this very mitzvah, which looks like it's a something which is even higher than Rachmanis, is the scale of that. That's why it's called from Arach, because the Zer Ampin is what's called Rachman. That's the shame of Hashem's Rachmanis, is called Zer Ampin, that's Tiferes, that's Rachman. But here it's the scale of the Arach Ampin, which is the Keser. L'man Yarichun Yamecha. So Shiloh HaKein, it's able to be Megalith through the tzur of the mitzvah, something which is even bigger than Rachmanis. And what that means, according to this tzur, is that when you're Miyachid, Havaya Hu Elokim, in a way where there's such a yichud that it's neskala two makayos of rachamim, you come to a place where you say about Hashem's Hanhaga that you can't even call a racham anymore. Something which is even higher than that. And the mitzvah which brings that out is the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein. It has a lot to do with Rosh Hashanah. We spoke about it in this room actually maybe 2 years ago, that Rosh Hashanah's connection to the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein. Because Rosh Hashanah is the union of the Yareach, Kesad Yom Chageinu. So in that place where the...
Sending sorrow away, right?
Yeah, sending sorrow away. Yeah. That's why Breslov, we said, Breslov, they're Makayim Shiloh HaKein to get the Uman, right? Why did Rabbi Nachman say, every has to come? So, what do you mean? All the mothers and all the wives, they have to stay home? Only the men should go? What's the mucker for that?
Shiloh HaKein. Moshe Tzipor.
Huh?
Moshe Tzipor.
Moshe Tzipor. That's in this week's parasha. In the last week's parasha. That's Shiloh HaKein. You have to send away the mothers, but in order to come, it's Rosh Shiloh HaKein. So, because it's the Sula calendar, the lunar calendar is Rosh Hashanah, 355. So that's why Shiloh HaKein, because it's Neskala, the Makar, which brings out the higher Makar, which is everything that's good.
Thank you so much.